We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the destination for Boston sports fans. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
It's OMF on EEI.
Took 2 years for Christian to finally realize he was working for Radio.com. And what do? They change it up on
him. Change it.
And they rebrand to Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
A-U-D-I-C-Y.
No, A-C-Y.
A-U-Y.
No.
Christian, you forgot the T.
Audacity.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. It does look
audible.
A little bit like that.
Nope.
See? By the all time right. You get it, they'll change, they'll rebrand it again, probably. But today we became Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Ooh. Our entire company has rebranded, so you're going to hear
no
that.
More
you're
going to
hear a little. No more. Yep. No more Endicom. No more Endicom. No more Radio.com. It is now Odyssey. All right, to the phone calls talking about the Celtics, and it was just miserable last night. You get a crowd in the Garden, and thank God, I read in a couple of the tweets that the Garden crowd was giving them a hard time last night.
Yeah, they
the players.
Were.
Which, imagine when they finally fill that thing up in 2024, when they actually see what the fans say then. But it was miserable last night. That is a game you come home. First time this season, you have fans who are all rooting for you. They all want you to win. And that's what you put out for a product. Here's Jeff in Maine. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Glenn. Just a couple points on Marcus, all right, please. That was a bonehead play. Anybody can make a bonehead play on a jump, but... we need some toughness out there, and there's not another Celtic that would set a pick on Adams to get an offensive foul or a defensive foul, so we'll get the ball. If he'd have got that call, we might have won that game. And the third thing is bring back Chuck Daly. If you can't get him, get Tom Thibodeau. Get somebody with some guts.
Did you say Chuck Daly is no longer
dead.
With us?
Once in a
oh,
we
God.
Can't
thank you,
get,
Jeff and
we
Maine.
We can't get dead people.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Honest
right?
to God.
And Tom
Chuck
Thibodeau's
Daly
doing a hell of a job.
2009.
Tom Thibodeau's doing a hell of a job in New York with the Knicks. Hell of a job.
They love Marcus Smart. You can do people, no wrong. But I tell you.
You know what it is, though, Lou? It is like it's like with the Red Sox. He's a dirt dog, right? And so you love those players that just bust their ass
yeah,
on every
the
single
dirt
play.
Dog hits a
yeah.
$170.
Well,
right? I mean,
yeah,
I'm just saying,
yeah.
Like, whatever. He grinds 100%. It out, but if he's not good, then... whatever. Go to John here because I want to get on this guy right now.
John's in
not
Somerville.
Not John, the guy's
hey,
talking
John.
About.
Oh, I'm sorry. John's in Somerville.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
go
John.
Hey, guys. So one thing I just heard you guys talking about earlier was the fact that obviously Smart's had these struggles in the fourth quarter and not trusting Stevens to go away from him, you know, when games really matter and you know, series are on the line or anything along those lines. But I'll tell you where Stevens lost me years ago. It was, excuse my details here if I'm a little bit off, but 2 years ago, Eastern Conference Finals, anyone watching at home saw Kyrie quit on a team. The young guys were getting us back into the Eastern Conference Finals at that point. Stevens leaves Kyrie in there to just seemingly purposely airball shots, and you know the series slips away from us. I think it was game six, but I just don't think the guy has the guts to make the right moves and you know sit guys down when they need to. So that's my point here.
Well, thanks, John. I do think you start to look at it now and wondering, like, what in God's name is Stevens doing with this team? You know, like, seriously, like, we talk about defense, it's effort. And one thing about Brad Stevens, we always talked about before, you know, you can always guarantee his teams are going to play hard. You know, they're always, like, overachievers. You know, I still say the worst thing that ever happened to this organization was getting the Eastern Conference Finals 3 or 4 years, you know, because now
all sense just, of security.
Yeah, now they just feel like they've accomplished everything.
Yep.
You know, now they think they're somebody, and the fan base thinks they're somebody. I'm watching that game last night in New Orleans thinking, you know what? I don't know why people think that the Celtics are even better than the Pelicans. Like, I don't. Like, well, no Jaylen Brown. Okay. Time. No Lonzo Ball. All right. They got Ingram and Zion. Yeah, great. You got, you know, Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker. Like, it's that we overrate this team so much. They just have three good players. That's all. I know two of them are young all-stars, but that's all they've got. But with the effort part defensively, like, is that not coaching? Again, like, Brad Stevens still to this day, like, his post-game interviews after games disappointing losses, he talks like he's got no control. He talks like he's just a spectator. I don't know why we come out slow at the beginning. I don't know why we collapse in the fourth quarter. Jeez, I don't know why we take teams too lightly. Like, what does he do? Because we used to give him credit for his teams playing hard. And right now, they're defensively, they are an awful basketball team. Awful basketball team. Offensively, it's nothing but isolation, one-on-one. They never move the ball. We've been talking about it. Scal talks about it every single night. They still don't do it. Like, what is he doing with this club? Have they completely tuned him out? And you got to start wondering if you're going to add some talent to this team, do they need, like, a grown-up? Do they need a veteran coach to kick them in the ass a little bit now if they all think they're accomplished something?
Well, listen, I think they're a better team than the team they played last night. And
I'm not so sure about that.
I love Zion. Well, Ingram was going up against Tatum, and Tatum clearly outplayed him during the course of the game. Adams did very little in the game. He had 4 points or whatever. I will give him this for all the Celtic fans who were laughing at Bledsoe a couple years ago in a playoff series, remember? And they brought Drew in and the whole works. They made a big, huge deal about it. Bledsoe did them in that game last night. The other kid, Alexander Walker, was pretty good, and Josh Hart, but the Celtics are a better team. I'm sorry. They are vastly underachieving, and it's a good point to bring up. Maybe it's gone to their head. 3 out of the last 4 years, the organization is looking at it and saying, what are you talking about? We went to the Eastern. You're a cute little team. They got there, but you couldn't get beyond there because you're not good enough.
Wait, but you actually think that the Celtics actually have a better team than the Pelicans. Like, they have more. They have better talent than the Pelicans. I disagree. They got two guys. They got two guys, and you keep saying, like, all-star, but that's not enough.
They got one all-star.
If the Celtics were in the West, they'd be, like, the worst team in the West. I mean, based on the way things go. So, New Orleans, I'm on Lou's side. Like, you can look at them and say they have better talent. Now, do the Celtics have good talent? Yeah, I believe they do. Do I think they're underachieving? Well, Tatum still gets his points. Brown still gets his points. Kemba's up and down. Marcus Smart is a train wreck, but what's left? Like, what is left? Like,
But they have no identity. There's a bunch of individual guys.
Well, that is true.
They're getting their numbers every single night.
Add that to the list.
I mean, Tatum had, 16 in the first quarter, okay? And then what happened after that?
Yeah, but there's this myth that because they have Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are still babies, like, they should be the best team in the East.
They're not a great team.
I noticed this in the All-Star game. But the expectation is like, oh, they have all this talent. What's wrong? Oh, my God.
Are they underachieving?
That's true, too. Both can be true. Okay? I do think they are underachieving. Okay? But they are also not a very talented team. So, in the end, they're right where they should be. They're a 500 team, Glenn. They'll be right in the middle.
I must tell you, Christian, I think they're better than a 500 team. I think if they were playing the same type of defense with the same personnel that they have over the last couple of years, if they were playing that this year, they would be 5 or 6 wins better than where they are right now. That's the problem. They're not playing the same defense. They have no identity offensively. It's each gets their own points, and each wants their own their glory, and that's what they're doing right now.
This is what happens to a team when they think they're talented and good, and they're really not.
I think that's a good point.
And they get frustrated, and, hey, what's wrong? Like, and the media does it, too. Oh, what's wrong, guys? I mean, you got two All-Stars. You look at all the players that were in the All-Star game. Like, most of those guys are on winning teams. They're on good teams, teams that are going places, like, especially if you had two or more. Like, if you had two, every now and then you'll get a team with one. But if you had two, your team is good. They're a playoff contention team, above 500 team, that has a personality, that has the right attitude, that has aspirations of winning in the postseason.
Yeah, and you talk about, like, think they're better. Yeah, probably Danny Ainge probably thinks they're a lot better too, right? I mean, he loves these guys. And that, I looked at Danny Ainge saying, number one person to blame, Danny Ainge. Because nobody around here got the memo that they're rebuilding. Like, it's a complete rebuild. Like, it's the way it looks. Like, you have 17 guys on this roster. Do you know 13 of them have 3 years in the league or less? And the guy that's Jaylen Brown's got 4. So 13 of the 17 guys have 3 years or less on this basketball team. And Danny Ainge felt like that's a good team. Kemba Walker's got 9. Tristan Thompson's got 9. He can't stay out of the club. You know, they just brought in Fournier. You know, he's got 8, but he's brand new. And then you got Marcus Smart with 6. Everybody's got a year, a rookie, or 2 years in the league. 13 of 17. Tell me the last time you've seen a team that young that's, what, the fourth or fifth youngest roster in the NBA.
I think it's a problem.
And ever thought that they would ever accomplish anything. That young of a team in this league where, like, grown men win championships, that you ever thought this team could do a damn thing. And that is the team that Danny Ainge put together. And he's looking at it saying, yeah, I got to keep it because I got 13 guys on my rookie deals. But, you know, you need cheap labor, as Scal said. 13 of them. It makes no sense.
Well, here's
when you look at how young this team
over
is.
The last decade.
It's awful.
Well, the problem you have is that you're paying out big money to these guys, okay? And that's the other issue you have. It's not like you've got young players and you've got them under, you know, your financial control. You really don't. These guys are making big money. And, yeah, it's a problem. We're seeing around the league when you're 27, you're 28, 29, 30, those are the teams. Those are the teams that contend for championships. That's why you're looking at the Lakers. You're looking at the Clippers. You're looking at the Brooklyn Nets. You're looking at those teams. Why? Because that's where, you know, the you are finally peaked. You are finally in a period where you understand the game and you're still a great player. And they don't have that, Lou. And so what is Danny going to do? He put a Band-Aid on it because he was fearful that the coach and the players were getting depressed. And what is he going to end up doing this summer?
But Glenn, don't you understand, like, adding a guy like Evan Fournier is a good thing. So now you can have 7 or 8 deep. But when, because of that move, you are forced to trade away Daniel Tice, who was one of those, like, you know, more of an adult in the room who played meaningful minutes for you. You take him out of the equation. You haven't added to your rotation at all. You take one guy out. Oh, everyone's like, oh, you know, the big winner in the Tice trade is Rob Williams. He still played 22 minutes. Not like he's going to get 32. So it's like you added a guy, but you took away a guy that was an effort guy that was what he was. So you haven't added to a rotation that was thin. It's still the same.
Yeah, the depth factor is an issue, but it's not as big an issue as people think. I look at the good teams right now we're talking about. I mean, Brooklyn doesn't have great depth. They really don't.
It's not about depth. I mean, this team is about depth. This depth is awful.
Yeah.
But it's about age.
I agree with that. And I think it's about leadership. And so when the game was over yesterday, Kemba Walker was asked about Evan Fournier and what he is going to bring to this team.
Hey, Kim, I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you since you guys added Evan. What do you think about what he can bring to you guys after, you know, you've obviously seen him a ton over the years?
Yeah, I think with the addition of Evan, it's going to help us a lot. You know, he's a great player. You know, me playing against Evan over the years, you know, I know how well he can score, you know, how well he can get other guys involved, how much he competes and how much he wants to win. He has great passion for the game, you know, which, you know, always is a boost, you know, especially for us. He's going to be great for us, and I can't wait to, you know, get him acclimated.
He has great passion for the game, which always is a boost, especially for us. Is he insinuating that they're lacking that passion right now?
I mean, I don't know how else you take it. It's very important for us. Like, give me the passionate guy out there other than Smart.
You don't have it.
Does your coach seem it?
No.
Does Tatum seem it?
No.
Tatum's like, it's just too cool for school. To me, I look at Jason Tatum, I think he's looking at this year realistically, and right now his only goal is to make sure he's on an all-NBA team so he can get the Supermax and his contract jumps. So he's going to just make sure he gets his. You know, and I think when Jaylen Brown comes back, yeah, his goal is to try to maybe get on that third all-NBA team maybe somehow. I don't know, and try to get accolades that way. Because it's just, no. I don't know how else to take it.
Yeah.
We need passion on our team because we don't have any.
Yeah. Initially when I heard it, I didn't want to read into it, but it does. It is a message, especially for us. I mean, there's an older guy that's been around long enough that knows when, okay, like we need something. Well, I can't really put my finger on it, but we need something. We have no passion. We have no pride. We have no energy.
See, so, I think this is dumb, though. Expecting Evan Fournier to come in here and suddenly be the passion or be the leader or give them that boost. First of all, he's getting in here, and you saw what happened last night. All right, he's confused, and I'm not taking anything that he did last night and thinking that that's what you're going to get out of him. You got a record performance last night, record bad for the Celtics. The last time it's been done, it's been 40 years, 41 years. So he was horrible last night. But you're expecting a guy in the last couple of months of the season, as teams are preparing to get to the playoffs, for this guy suddenly to come in here and take over and be some type of passionate boost leader or whatever? He's trying to find his way. And, oh, yeah, he also knows he's on a rental contract. He's got to get his numbers for the free agency in the offseason. If that's what they're looking for, with Fournier, they're crazy. Now, Jay Williams on ESPN Radio's morning show was looking at this as really a shot towards Jalen and Jason.
Kemba said of Evan Fournier that he will help us a lot. He adds, he has great passion for the game, which always is a boost, especially for us. What's he saying there?
See, I feel like when somebody says that, that's a shot at leadership. It feels to me like that's a shot at either Jason Tatum or Jalen Brown. I don't know why. Jason Tatum is playing really well. I mean, he had COVID this year. Jalen Brown, a great two-way player. But, like, it's – are you saying it about your players? Are you saying it about your coach? But it's a shot at somebody on the team in a leadership position.
Okay, so I don't necessarily point it out as one of the players. I mean, to me, it's a collective group of issues. So when Kemba Walker says, hey, especially for us, I don't think he's saying, hell, man, it's like Tatum is so weak and he's so quiet and Jaylen Brown didn't play and he's quiet too. And the only guy we have to actually say anything is the guy that everybody's afraid of, and that's Marcus Smart. No, this is the guy that says, man, we're just lifeless. Like, we're not having any fun. There's no joy. Like, when you have team meetings, again, at the halfway point, it's a kiss of death. Nothing good comes out of it. You don't fix anything. So, sure, they have a team meeting. Hey, let's put all our cards on the table. It's, hey, like, no one is going to be held accountable for anything they say. Everything stays in this room.
Yeah, but you know that fun thing because you played sports. You know it all comes with winning. They won the previous two games. And all I heard last night on the pregame show with Chris Forsberg is, oh, they're hugging each other and they're, you know, jumping into each other's arms.
It. Oh,
it's
my God.
Not it's not about
so,
winning. It's they, about fun.
But isn't it, you know what's worse? You know what's worse than not having any energy or any passion? Is when you try to fake it, and it's so obvious. Like, you just don't want to be there, and you know what the outcome's going to be, and everybody's aware of that. You just, why are you even doing it? I'd rather them come out like Eeyore, and like, woe is me, and then almost like okey-doke'em.
I think they do
like not more. Much of a house, right for not much of a donkey.
Just do that. Do that.
I think they lack balls. I really do. I think that, and that the problem they have is that Marcus Smart is that one guy that exercises that energy, and they're all fearful of him. He's the crazy guy. He's the guy that you're fearful of. You know, you respect him, and he plays his ass off. On the other hand, you're afraid to tell him, including the coach, you can't continue to take 15 freaking shots. You can't do it. They're afraid of him. So he's taking the team hostage right now. Tatum doesn't have that personality to stand up to him. I mean, Jaylen Brown doesn't seem to have it. The coach doesn't seem to. So who's going to stand up to him?
Well, can you go to Alex and Hadley? Because this is actually a pretty good point.
Here's Alex and Hadley.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on WEEI. Let me tell you something.
An Odyssey radio station.
This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Why?
Jason Tatum and Brown is the same situation that we had with Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker. Danny Ainge has to figure out which is going to be the baller and which one we have to send away. As simple as that. As simple. You got positionless basketball now. Positionless basketball. And you got two players that play the same position. They got to go. One of them has to go. And then we got a deal with Marcus Smart. I'm fired up over this. Marcus Smart is a $55 million player that can't shoot from the beach to the ocean. He can't hit the side of a barn from
in front of the barn.
He can't do it.
All right, so he brings up an interesting point. So when Danny Ainge came here and took over this job, he actually came here just before the playoffs, during the playoffs, just before the Eastern Conference Final. And he had Paul Pierce, and he had Antoine Walker. And they got to the Conference Finals, guys. They lost to New Jersey. And what did he end up doing? He blew up that team. And so he brings up an interesting point. Can Tatum and Brown coexist?
No, that's right. So you think of those years with Pierce and Antoine Walker, and you mentioned that one run they had against New Jersey, whatever, but I mean, that's kind of where you're at, aren't you? You have two very good scorers.
Yeah.
Neither one really know how to play with each other.
Right.
And you don't really have much left other than them, you know, but you got two scorers. You got two guys that are averaging 24, 25 a game, like those two, Pierce and Walker, but they don't complement one another. They just shoot. And that's kind of like where you're at. That's what you have. And I know you look at it and say, well, you know, how many teams had two All-Stars? And we go around the league and we talked about it during the All-Star game. They're all the best teams in the league, so therefore Boston should be better. But Danny put such a putrid roster around these two guys that they suck. They do. I'm sorry, it's not a good basketball team. This is who they are. Like they're gonna be right around 500. They may, if they get hot, they might finish two or three, four games over.
They're lucky if they get that number four
but
spot.
I told you yesterday what scared me is when you get to the 10th of April, then you're going out west and you're playing some really good teams out there on the road. I thought these seven games would be an opportunity for them to get, you know, four games above 500, five games above 500. I'm not sure that's gonna happen based on what I saw last night. But, you know, Tyler Devitt in our website ran down five players who he thought they should target in the offseason. One of them is the guy I agree with, and that's Bradley Beal. I think you've got to think about him. You got to think about Tatum. You got to think about the future with Tatum.
Who wrote that article?
And whether it makes any sense.
Our very own Tyler Devitt.
That's weird because our producer's name is also Tyler Devitt.
Oh, is it?
That's a coincidence.
Is it the same guy? Or is it a different guy?
Very handsome.
Or is that guy using a fake name?
It's weird the way you said that name. You could have said our producer Tyler wrote this article.
Well, I say Tyler Devitt because people want to go to the site and actually read him. And if I just say Tyler, there's another Tyler on the website. Huh.
Yeah, who cares about that guy?
All right, I get it.
You go to odyssey.com and you can find it right there.
Oh, odyssey.com, is that what it is?
A-U-D-I-C-T-T-Y.
Christian, spell it.
A-U-D-I-C-T-T-E-Y.
Christian will get it in a couple of years. Just in time to change the name again.
O-U-D-I-C-T-Y.
Exactly. Here's Dakota in Braintree. Dakota.
Hey, before I get to the Peyton Pritchard side, listen, at the beginning of the season, I had this team as a 7 seed, even though they got to the Eastern Conference Finals.
You had them as a 7 seed?
I had them as a 7. I got the Twitter receipt for it before the season started. I put them as a 7 seed. Okay? And, you know, the team had DNA issues. They had no one in the lead. They have no continuity. They weren't fun. How many times did we check out and just not watch it the last few years? The same things are constantly there, and they're not fixing it. And before I get to Pritchard, don't forget, Kyrie Irving came here. Once he got here, said, I don't want to be with this team. Get me out of here. Then you got a guy like Tristan Thompson, who's won a championship, came here and said, you know what? I don't want to play with these guys. Get me out of here. Okay? The Jays are the problem. Now my Peyton Pritchard.
Hold on before the Peyton Pritchard thing. I actually think you need to at least look at the Kyrie Irving thing, and nobody wants to do it because he was such an a-hole and there were real issues, but look at what's going on right now when he's playing with adults and he still doesn't have one of the top three players in the league back playing with him. He's going to probably get that the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And look at what's happening there. Maybe we need to readdress the exit of Kyrie Irving and say maybe it wasn't all his fault.
Well, I would say this. Kyrie's still an a-hole. Go ahead.
I get it, but he was a top 10 player, and the Jays are not a top 10 player. All right, now, as for Peyton Pritchard.
Okay, oh, my God. You're so in love with Peyton Pritchard.
I know, but
you are
Christian,
obsessed
but Christian,
with him.
Why shouldn't I be? Do you know why? Do you know when this guy plays 20 minutes or more, the Celtics are 15-6?
You push,
15-6.
You push Peyton Pritchard's stats night, like you do Davio's food.
That's true. 100% correct, Christian, okay? But look at last night. Pritchard was doing so great in the first half. I'm like, he went off. He was a key player again last night, and he was a no-show in the second half. He ended up with 15 minutes. And go look at the numbers are the numbers. 20 minutes or more, Peyton Pritchard, they're like 15-6. And you know what their record is without him? Well, you can figure it out. Okay, it's horrible. You know what that means? That means Peyton Pritchard has the DNA that he can do all the things that you need, even though he may not score. He can defend when needs to. He can play good defense. He can set his teammates up. He can shoot if he's open. He can take it to the hole. He does the things that contribute to winning basketball. And I don't understand why that this guy shows it on the court that he is not their leader right now. And he needs to be.
I hear you. I love it.
But why? Because he's a rookie and he was drafted late? Is that why? If he was a third pick in the draft, would you be saying, oh, this guy needs to play 30 minutes?
Be treated differently.
Wait. I just wanted to ask you if you could spell Odyssey.
O-D-Y.
No, wrong one.
Wrong one.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
A-U-D-C-I-E-T-Y. So
is Dakota saying he wants Peyton Pritchard to be the leader of this team?
That's what he just said.
Like, forget about more minutes. Let's he wants younger. Him to be the leader?
Let's go younger, Lou. If we're going too old. Let's go. Good. Though he is like 24, isn't he?
A very
he?
Good
something
NCAA
like
team. Yeah. It's great.
Did you see, by the way, the
players?
Did you see who picked up Jeff Teague?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee Bucks picked up Jeff Teague. They bring
and
in.
He'll be great up there. Watch.
Yep.
He'll kill it.
He was playing good.
Playoff killer.
Listen,
Jeff Teague.
We were
the last
killing
couple
Jeff,
weeks, he was pretty good.
We were killing Jeff Teague early in the year, but the last couple of weeks, he was playing a lot better for this team.
Yeah, his value was never higher.
And so they dumped him.
Good point.
Yeah. Another dump.
That's right.
Beautiful.
They just dumped him.
Yep. Just dump all the adults and keep bringing in Mark Wagner, for Christ's sakes, and some guy Cornette with a good, both got a year or two in the league. Wagner, by the way, he's like 6'11". Why does he look like he's like 6'4 in the court?
He does.
Does anybody notice that? Like, does he look like he's 6'11", like a 7-footer?
I
look at him, he looks like he's 6'5".
I was watching the NCAA tournament this week, and his younger brother is a good player. With Michigan, too. He's a good player.
Did he forget his shoulders? Like, did he bring them with him?
He, like, runs hunched over. It's very odd.
He looks like he's 6'5".
He looks like good posture, actually. He should be, like, Chewbacca in a Star Wars movie. He should, like, be wearing the costume. And if you look at his...
Like 1930s Frankenstein.
He's got... His feet are way too big for his body. Like, he needs, like, thicker calves.
Like clown shoes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it looks like he cannot move. And it may be because it was, like, who
Danny,
he was guarding.
I mean, Brad will get a lot out of him. A lot out of him because he, barely belongs in the league. And he'll get him to play hard. So he'll get a lot out of him.
Like a college
kid. That's like Brad's guys.
I think you might be right, though. Jeff Teague might come back to haunt you in Milwaukee. All right, 617-779-7937. So where was Bill Belichick today? Well, he was looking for a quarterback. Where? At the Alabama Pro Day. We'll get to that coming up next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on OMF, I know, Lou, you were a little bummed out that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels did not attend Justin Fields' pro day today. Instead, they were down there at Alabama
Not happy.
His buddy Nick Saban. But obviously, maybe he's interested in Mac Jones. Or maybe Mac Jones hasn't found out yet that the 49ers actually have traded into the number three spot. So today, at Mac Jones' pro day, he ran a triple option trickery play straight out of Navy's option-based playbook. He did it partially as a tribute to his high school coach, who apparently died this past year. But when it was all over and he was doing the interviews after, he talked about how he did it to impress one Bill Belichick. He said, it was just cool, and obviously I know Belichick loves Navy and stuff, so I showed him that. It's just all fun and games out here. I mean, he was gushing about Bill Belichick. Does he not realize that Belichick is not in a position to, I don't think, to go out and get him, or maybe he's going to slip?
Oh, Jesus. They're talking about sucking up. I mean, listen, well, you can't really make fun of him if he's doing it to, you know, to honor, like, his late coach. And that,
right.
that way,
I did
so,
say
hey,
that.
Hold on. Wait. Yeah. Sorry. But it is... I don't know. Like the thing is that I'm sure Saban probably told him all sorts of stories, and I'm sure he's also seen him there because Bill goes there like every year.
Well, maybe Bill went there with Josh to work out a deal with Shanahan, and then he could
and,
trade up
John Lynch.
Yeah, and they could trade up for Mac.
Well, there are people that have taken pictures and video.
Oh God, it's all
a lot
true.
Of conversation
you know,
between
maybe.
Those two.
I'm just saying, maybe yeah. you know, and then San Fran, Shanahan, Lynch, they could kind of be the like draft day. You know what I mean? Like trade up to get three, and then trade back down and get the guy they want, and just see where it all ends up. Maybe Bill's moving up to three.
So we're missing the whole possibility of the 49ers trying to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and actually drafting Mac Jones. It's just the opposite, right? They want to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. They love Jimmy, and they want to make sure that Bill gets Mac Jones.
kind of
a whole, it's a there whole is. Like, and Nick Saban is controlling everything.
Yeah, he should have been at Ohio State watching Justin Fields. That's where you
he
live, Bill. That's
he
where you
not.
Live. Okay, live there. What are you going down there? We're going to draft a wide receiver at 15. Is that what we're going to do? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to move up to get was it Surtain, the quarterback, who's supposed to go like 8th, 9th, 10th? They're going to do that. Is that
you
what
know?
We're
gonna and
do?
And I would also like to say, like, you know, usually, don't you believe that, like, when these guys pick their trips, it's sometimes it's about the guy they want, and other times it's all about just, you know, optics? Like, who went to Trey Lance's workout? Did any of the Patriots or any of the 49ers go to Trey Lance's workout? Any of, like, the real important
no.
guys?
Well,
or did
Bill,
they, well, they send a normal scout?
Important.
Bill's
did
only gone to Miami and Alabama. But
yeah,
I guess Trey
it.
Lance, what, 30 of the teams were there. I think the Patriots were there. But they were at Trevor Lawrence as well. But not Bill. Not Josh. So...
we'll see how it all plays out. But I do love the way everybody played off of Shanahan and Lynch and Belichick and Josh McDaniels all talking. Ooh, maybe they're working out a trade and they're trying to get it going. All right, Red Sox open up their season 2 days from now. It will be Thursday afternoon. It means Lou will be working a full day. Kristen and I will
do
have
it.
A shorter day as we'll be on after the game on Thursday. I'm amazed at this. Not nationally, but locally, usually – you get the people that, you know, they just don't want to disrespect the Red Sox. And so the Boston Globe, I'm looking at the preview that came out 2 days ago. There's not a single person, not a single writer who has the Red Sox in the playoffs. This includes Pete Abraham. This includes Chad Finn. They don't have the Red Sox in the postseason. Matter of fact, I'm looking at stuff outside of the Boston Globe, and everybody seems to have the AL East in this order: Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, Red Sox, Orioles. Everybody's has got it that way. Everybody.
It's for me, that's right where they should be. That's for me. For me, that's right where they should be. I think you're. If you think that they're going to be that, would do you think that the East could have three teams represented in the playoffs?
Probably.
Well,
not.
If we had the system we had last year with the extra team, well,
yeah,
maybe
that's true,
we don't have that.
They're
anymore.
Not doing that this year. So, no, I look at it, you know, I look at it as, you know, okay, so we know they got guys that can hit. We know guys can get on base. We know they will probably be able to knock in a bunch of runs.
They'll score a lot of runs.
Okay, so when you start looking at a team, like in any team, if you're looking at the Red Sox, I say you look at them the same way and judge them the same way we do a football team. Football team, the most important player on that team is...
quarterback.
Quarterback is more. And
I thought
we
it was
judge,
a tight end.
We
told
judge,
me it was a tight end.
I did. We judge every single team. We base their success based on who's at quarterback. Like Tampa has Jameis Winston. They can't get out of their own way. They get Brady. they win a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, you name it, get a quarterback. Deshaun Watson, Bears, you know, offering tons and tons of first-round picks in order to get Russell Wilson. The key is the rotation. So if the comparison of an NFL quarterback is a Major League Baseball team's rotation, I ask you, Lou, I'll start with you.
Yes.
Who would you compare that rotation to a current NFL quarterback? And based on that, I will tell you how good they're going to be.
Well, it's a group, right? They're all
it's
so
a group. You got to keep them.
They're all individual. First off, I'll say this: I have them winning 87 games. Okay, and 80 games, I just don't see it happening because of the rotation. It's because of the depth that they do have at it. So I was looking at it individually.
Okay, I'll let you do that.
I was saying E-Rod to me, it's like Ryan Tannehill.
Okay.
A lot of hope for the guy, and now he's proven you can win with him.
Okay, well, I would say you can win with him.
He's really good.
He's not the problem.
No. Eivaldi, Jimmy G.
Often hurt, in
often
and out.
Hurt. When in and out.
When he's healthy, yeah. He'll win you games.
Got Garrett Richards, Carson Wentz.
Okay,
had early in his career, had like a great MVP-type season going, then he's been hurt ever since, and he's not, you know, whatever. We'll see. So, but Wentz could be great in Indy. You never know, right? Just like Richards could be great here, but it'll be why. Martin Perez, I'm going Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
He's good enough.
Yeah.
He's good enough. He's there for a reason.
Okay, so.
Bottom of the rotation.
So that's your lineup.
Well, then you got Nick Pivetta, who I'll go Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
Was once regarded as like a guy with a bunch of tools. They love his athleticism, got a hell of an arm, but accuracy sometimes. But it's still there, and I don't know. We'll see.
Your best comparison of the starting rotation being E-Rod is Ryan Tannehill. So Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback of the bunch that you listed.
Yeah.
You're a 500 team.
Well, how about this? How about if they give me an average quarterback, but they have if an NFL team had a top five defense? Can you be better than that? Because I think the Red Sox have a top five offense.
Not in that division, I don't think. And you know the other rotations better than I do. I'm looking at
they're all suspect.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Red Sox rotation, and that's the thing that scares me the most. If you had healthy Chris Sale right from the get-go, and you drop E-Rod down to number two and Eivaldi number three, then you know maybe you could look at it and say, well, I've got a guy every fifth day I know is going to be out there and is going to shut the other team down. You don't have that right now. To me, you can say all you want about Eivaldi. The best game he's ever pitched for the Red Sox, they lost. And, you know, it was a big game, I'll give you that. But he's not going to give you enough innings during the course of the year. You talk about Garrett Richards. He's won eight games in the last 5 years. So, yeah, can he go back to where he was in 2015? Maybe. But that's really that the chances of that happening are not great. I like their bullpen. It's certainly better than what they had last year. It's certainly deeper. They're going to score runs defensively. They're probably not going to be as good, certainly, in the outfield. So, and I don't know why people think I'm being negative about it. I think they're a 500 team this year. People say, well, that's negative. Well, I get it. Lou's optimistic. He's got them at 87. But last year, they were 12 games under 500 in a 60-game season. If you put that out to a 162-game season last year, they would have been a 60-win team. I am improving them by 20 freaking games. That's not negative. I think it's realistic. I think that's the ceiling.
Well,
honestly,
last year, I don't know how many pitchers they used, 35 of them. I think five belonged in the big leagues, period.
They were auditioning people.
End
they
of story.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing to watch on a nightly basis. Tonight, that now you talk about those five guys you have, and E-Rod's going to miss one time through the rotation. You got Tanner Houck is like your sixth starter. You got the kid Seabold that nobody knows about, really. He came from the Phillies who went from 90-92 2 years ago, basically. Now he's throwing 96-97. They love him. You know, and then you got Andrees, who's throwing the ball real well, and Whitlock, who was a starter with the Yankees, who's been great for them, is going to start in a pen as a long guy. So I look at it as like nine guys in this rotation. I believe in E-Rod. And you give me one or two good years from the other guys, and now all of a sudden you're in a completely different spot. I'm taking one or two of the guys of the five or six, seven I just mentioned. You know, so and that's the other thing. I think we overvalued the Rays. Like Ryu is a good pitcher. There's no question. Robbie Ray's there like number two. You know, had like what I think he had a 6.7 ERA last year and hasn't really been good for a while. You know, and then Steven Matz, who hasn't really lived up to it in New York, like they just lost Field Yates. I keep going Field freaking Yates. Kirby Yates, their closer, he's done for the year that they added late. The Yankees, they don't have, they got Garrett Cole. He's outstanding. Jordan Montgomery, he's like Perez. Like
he's
Corey
like
Kluber.
Perez. He's the end of
Corey
the
Kluber's like Garrett Richards. You know, Taillon is the key to them, in my opinion. And, you know, I thought Paxton was going to be great there and Happ's going to be great there. Something does it to New York. You come from Pittsburgh, you go to New York, you fall apart. Whatever. We'll see. So I think we've overrated the other teams. I like their depth and their rotation. It's not ideal. It's not perfect. But I like it. Sale comes back in July. I like their lineup a lot. I think they're going to be an 87-win team. And I think they could slide in the third.
To me,
but that's not a playoff team.
To me, they're rebuilding. And the most important stuff is what happens with those younger players that Heim Bloom is putting, building an emphasis on replenishing the minor league system. To me, that's their future. And they may go through this rebuilding for the next couple of years. It might take that long. And then you can go out and you could spend the money to fill in the other gaps out there.
See, I had somebody ask me, like, when do you start believing in the Red Sox? They're a starting pitcher away, an ace. That's it. I mean, I'm saying next year. You know, next year you get Sale back after Tommy John. You keep Erod.
Oh, if you add an ace to Sale, yes.
Well, I'm just saying Sale's back here.
Sale's the ace.
If you go out in the offseason and you add a frontline starter.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
You're a World Series contender next year. So it's like, oh, they're so far off. Not really. Like, they're not. I mean, they need to go find a guy. Like, you know, and you don't, Gerrit Cole's don't fall, you know, out of the trees, but you develop your system. Maybe you make that trade for that young guy. And a year from now, you're right back in the mix in the American League.
Because you asked, so just use the Yankees, okay? The cream of the crop probably will win the division from anywhere from 94 to 100 wins this year. They do have their Aaron Rodgers. They do have their Patrick Mahomes. They have an ace. And they have, and listen, every single team has rotation issues other than the Dodgers.
Yeah, and the Padres.
And the Padres. Okay,
yeah, maybe the Braves.
Okay, fine. So three teams can sit there and say, listen, we have three strong no matter what. We get into the playoffs, we're 1-2-3, and then we'll put everybody else in the bullpen.
Yeah, you don't have it.
No, they don't. So if you said Tanner Houck, and I was like, okay, is Tanner Houck Jarrett Stidham?
No, he's much better than Stidham.
Is he afraid of the spotlight? who's Cam Newton?
No, I mean, Houck came last year, end of the year, it was 3-0 with a .53 and shoved it up the Yankees, you know what. I mean, it's like he's impressive.
Yeah, he's got promise.
And they don't need him.
See, to me, that's the most...
Well, they'll need him in the rotation the first time through.
To me, that's the most interesting part of the process, and that is that they're starting to build something in the
If you ask me...
See Bobby Dalbec, you're going to see a lot of him.
Yeah, if you ask me, like, my biggest concern is outfield defense. In a league where everybody wants to hit the ball in the air, I don't believe they have the outfield to get it done. And Duran hopefully will be there in about 2 or 3 months if he develops and Verdugo stays in right field. But the most common phrase used watching the Boston Red Sox this year will be, Jackie would have had it.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind. No. It's Jackie would have had it. I've already watched spring training games saying the same thing over and over again. You know, they're down 2-0 with two outs on a double to center. Well, Jackie would have had it. It's 0-0 game. People who think his defense is overrated are wrong. It's underrated. And you're going to find that out this year.
All right. And we're going to find out beginning Thursday afternoon, 2 days from now, as the Red Sox play the home opener before a crowd of about 4,500. Brian Windhorst has a scoop that could mean the end of basketball as we know it. Plus, we got to get to Lil Nas X being sued. This is a disaster. We'll get to all of that coming up on Last Call. Hi, Mutt.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And, you know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
And it's all brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, car picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. We kick it off with Brian Windhorst's Hoop Collective podcast. Mark Stein and Nick Friedel are discussing LeBron James and who apparently he's recruiting to join him in L.A. with the Lakers.
LeBron thinks there's some doubt. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing this. Because I know he feels a certain way about Steph. Because I watched it.
The doubt about what? What do you mean?
That you think LeBron thinks he may leave?
LeBron started recruiting him at the All-Star break.
Yeah, okay. Steph is not going to leave. He's not right now. He's okay. Not going to leave.
Fine.
I mean, but LeBron includes everybody, right? So
fine. He gets a lot of guys too.
Fine.
I'm just saying, just to
and
be clear.
It's not happening.
Just to be clear, Steph is eligible for a contract extension this summer, and LeBron started recruiting him an all-star break.
Yeah, but he might be playing for somebody else and once the next contract's done.
Listen, man, I'm not denying. I'm just stating. I'm not taking a position.
He's still going to be with the Lakers. He might play the New Yorker school all of a sudden.
The point is well taken. I understand where you're going, B. But yeah, Steph's not going anywhere.
You're talking to LeBron whisperer.
Wait, I was
going
to say, who are these two guys talking to this guy?
That wasn't Mark Stein, though, was it?
Marcus Spears, not the football guy. Marcus Spears, who's an NBA reporter.
And who else?
And Nick Friedel. Both these guys are national NBA reporters.
I'm just saying, like, Windhorst starts talking about LeBron James, and they're just, like, crapping all over him. And, I mean, Windhorst is, like, his roommate. Like, how can you not take what he's saying serious?
I was going to say, so, like, and the other thing is that, like, that's his podcast that they're on. And they're checking him like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm just telling you that I know what LeBron does. Like he, like I said, they're like related.
Fine.
I mean,
LeBron approves
everybody, right?
Fine.
I don't believe you. I 100% believe it. Like this is a guy that is he's so proactive. Like deals that won't happen for another 3 years. He starts kind of politicking now. Starts politicking. Hey, look at your contract. You know, see where you're at. And it doesn't mean that they'll both be in L.A. I mean, they could be anywhere.
So what Windhorst is doing, though, is he's getting LeBron in trouble. If you remember, LeBron got himself in trouble with the commissioner when he was playing in New Orleans, and he had dinner that night with Anthony Davis. Remember that? They had to warn him. So they do this to owners. They find them. They find general managers. If this is true, and I agree, Windhorst knows exactly what LeBron's doing, is the league going to do anything to LeBron James?
No.
Because we all know that players are the one that can recruit these other players. General managers and owners can't do it.
I saw Kyrie and Kevin Durant doing it in the hallway. They got room for two max players, remember?
Yeah. It's a complete joke.
No, nothing.
It's a complete joke. Do you remember when everybody loved Little Nas X? Remember he had the Old Town Road hit and the country people. Didn't he win like a country award or something like that? Didn't he win a big award?
Yep.
Yeah, and everybody loved him. And he was crossing over to
Little Nas or Little Maz? What'd you say?
A Little Nas X. Is that what it is?
Little Nas X.
All right, good.
It works.
So he's got the new release of Montero, Call Me By Your Name. That's his new like music video. It's him giving a lap dance to a devil. Apparently, it's pissed off a lot of people, apparently.
Okay.
Well, he's got a production company he's working with, Mischief Product Studios, and they are now suddenly being sued by Nike for the release of his satin shoes. WGN has the report.
Lil Nas X now being sued by Nike over his new Satan shoes. You probably heard about these by now. The creator, Mischief, reportedly included a drop of real blood in the ink that was used in each shoe. It's not the blood that is really bothering Nike per se. It's the fact that the shoes were just customized Nike Air Max 97s marketed as an entirely new shoe, and they were made without Nike's permission. Suit claims trademark infringement and false designation of origin. Small run of the new shoes sold out in just 1 minute.
Wow.
So first of all, I gave Ryan a perfect OMF up.
Thank you.
Because I do know about this story, and Nike is totally lying.
What
about
kind of shoes are they?
They're Satan shoes. For the release of his satin shoes. So, so I'm reading the script here, but I did know what it was because I know the story well. But Nike is totally lying about this. You're telling me they manufactured 666 of them. Oh, where's that number coming from? And they're charging over $1,000 a piece for these shoes. And you're telling me that Nike is going to allow this other company to put the swoosh, put all the logo and everything else in one of these shoes?
It seems to me, the way I heard it was, they just grabbed a bunch of Air Force 95s or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just kind of altered them. So they bought the shoes and they just kind of, you know, like they pimped their ride, you know, or whatever that is. They customized the shoes. That's what they did. They customized the
shoes.
And
what, did they drill a hole in it and put the blood in there?
Yeah. I mean, that seems like, listen, they didn't go manufacture their own shoes. They bought a bunch of Nike shoes and then customized them and then resold them.
Aren't you a little concerned at Hollywood?
I mean,
getting caught up in a lot of this Satan stuff or satin stuff. Aren't you a little bit concerned about this?
It's not the blood that is really bothering Nike per se. It's the fact that the shoes
blood in them. That doesn't bother us at all.
But I'm getting concerned that Hollywood is really getting caught up in all this Satan stuff. There's a lot of Satan worshiping going on out there, is there not?
We got enough issues to worry about Satan now.
Jesus. I think so. Hi, Mutt.
There's a lot of Satan worshiping going on out there. Is
oh, yeah, there is.
Is there, Glenn?
Yeah, what? There is.
What do you mean?
You got to read about it.
AlexJonesInfoWars.com.
Oh, there is. There's
a bunch of Wayfair is doing some crazy stuff with their furniture. There's kids in there. That's what I read on the internet. These QAnon people got it going on.
Trust me. Read a Mutt.
Devil don't try to bring you down yourself. When you get closer to your goals.
You can educate yourself by reading about it. It's out there.
So you're dumb, Mutt.
It's out
is that
there.
What it is? You're dumb.
But you're Hollywood still fam. You're still worship. Part of the Odyssey family.
I am. Welcome to the Odyssey family.
Yes, you too, Mutt.
It's a big day in my household. Glenn, what's a good bottle of wine? If you're going to celebrate, what would be the bottle of wine you would use?
How much you want to spend? Guy.
How much you want to 100 spend? $100.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. $100.
Well, you know what today is.
It's your anniversary.
Last day of remote learning.
Forget about Friday. The wine. Just crown all night.
Yeah. Crown. You want to go heavy. Yeah.
Back to school tomorrow for the rest of the year.
Congratulations.
Everybody, I know it's a big moment.
It is a big moment.
I'm going to celebrate tonight. We'll celebrate.
What do you got coming up tonight?
We'll celebrate the 1 hour show into the Elite Eight tonight, and we'll do it with the football because 17 game schedule means. One extra game to bet on the regular season.
Nice. Like,
what's bad about that?
Increased fantasy season by a game.
I know, right? Yep. Playoffs, too.
And then you're off to the baseball season, and you know.
Oh, you're going to get sick of me during baseball. I'm going to be on the air way too much during baseball. Well, that starts on Thursday. Tonight's Mutt at Night. A lot of football coming up here in about 5 minutes.
All right. Hey. Mutt at Night's coming up next. We're back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We'll see you then. Have a great night, everybody. Stay safe out there. That Hollywood is really getting caught up in all this Satan stuff. There's a lot of Satan worshiping going on out there, is there not?
This is WEEI.